This is a new series. We are going to name this series maybe Messages of Christ or the Teaching of Christ, first in a series. We are going to read from the St. John chapter 3, and we had to read up to at least verse 21. We are going to read verse by verse. So we are going to ask Pastor Sebastian to read from St. John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2.
There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him.
And Nicodemus, he's a Pharisee. Pharisees were very strict in the law. They believed in resurrection, but at the same time, they did not believe what Jesus Christ was preaching. But this Nicodemus, sound like from his talk, he was listening to Jesus Christ. He was watching his miracles, and he was very attracted to Jesus Christ, but he could not openly come and talk to Jesus Christ. This religious man, he was also leader, very great man. Maybe people respected him. He wants to talk to Jesus Christ. So he comes in the middle of the night. The time is not given. I believe Jesus Christ didn't go to bed that early, because in those days, farmers, they will be coming very late from the farming and then take a shower and then take their last dinner and go to bed maybe 11 o'clock. So Jesus Christ and John, the beloved disciple of Jesus Christ, they were there, and maybe other disciples were already went to bed. Why I'm saying this? Because this story is not recorded any other gospel. Only Gospel of John records this story. From that I know the disciple of Jesus Christ, John, was making notes when the Jesus Christ and Nicodemus were talking to each other. Now here this man comes and says many good things about Jesus Christ. He says, I know you are a teacher and you came from God. We believe that God is with you. And so many good things he is talking. He did not say why he came. But Jesus understood that this man is hungry for the spiritual matters. That's why he said right away to him, please read the verse 3.
Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.
When somebody reads this, they will say, Nicodemus never asked him a question about the born-again experience or the kingdom of God. Nothing. He was just saying, you are a good teacher. We believe that you came from God, and we believe that you are doing miracles. And if God is not with you, you cannot do these miracles. So he was talking spiritual things. So Jesus Christ says to him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. They will say, when you say see the kingdom of God, is not actually seeing, it's actually understanding. But whatever they say, seeing or understanding, here Jesus Christ saying, you cannot see the kingdom of God if you are not born again. Now, this kind of preaching, Nicodemus never heard in his life, because nobody was talking about born again. In the Jewish law, if you commit sin, you give the sacrifice. And when you commit another sin, then you have to do another sacrifice. But they will never repent of their sin. they will just give the sacrifice and they will believe that I gave the sacrifice for my sins. My sins are forgiven, and they think that they will go to heaven. That's the way they were thinking. Book of Proverbs. Some of the prostitute or some ladies who are committing sin, they will say, oh, I did the sacrifice. I did the vow today. So God is pleased with me. Come to my house or something like that. So from that, you know, these people were thinking, whatever sin you commit, you just give the sacrifice and you'll be all right. They don't have to repent. They don't have to change the heart. But Proverbs says you have to confess your sins and forsake. And then God's mercy will come. So now this is the teacher of the law. He's a very respected man, Nicodemus. So Jesus Christ says, you know what? I know you thinking about going to heaven. I know you're thinking about a godly thing. So let me tell you, you have to be born again. Now, this man never heard this teaching. So he is asking Jesus Christ a question just like a little child. So let's read the verse 4.
Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?
This is really laughable thing he told to Jesus, but Jesus Christ did not make fun of him. He knew that this is the very new subject for these people. So he's saying, an old person, how can he be born again? He has to enter the mother's womb or something. I didn't understand this. Could you explain to me? That's what the Nicodemus was saying. So the Jesus Christ repeated him and a little bit differently. Let's read the verse 5.
Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God.
First, Jesus Christ said, you have to be born again to see the kingdom of God. And if you want to enter into the kingdom of God, you have to be born by water and by Spirit. Now, these things Nicodemus didn't understand. But at the same time, John the Baptist was baptizing the people. And the word of God says, Sadducees and Pharisees, they came, but they rejected the counsel of God. They did not pay attention to what the John the Baptist was saying and preaching and giving baptism. They just walked away. So now Jesus Christ is saying, what's happening in front of your eyes? John the Baptist is baptizing people. They go under the water and come out of the water, just like going in the belly of water and coming out. And then he says, if somebody be born of water and born of Spirit, those are the people will be entering into the kingdom of God. Now you have to pay attention. Both times Jesus Christ said, first he said, if you want to see the kingdom of God. Now the kingdom of God, we already learned. The Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The Jesus Christ will be ruling in Jerusalem, and that will be his headquarter. So that will be the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not talking going to original heaven where the Father is. Even the Father has a throne in the original heaven, but the kingdom of God's headquarter is in Jerusalem. So we learned last time, even the Israeli people's name, all the 12 tribes' names are written on those city gates, 12 gates. They can see their name. They can come to the city, look around. They go to the new earth, but they cannot enter into the kingdom of God. They can only see the kingdom of God. But now he says, if you want to enter into the kingdom of God, you have to be born of water and born of spirit. Now, many people today, Jewish people also, and many people who are born again, baptized, and filled with the Holy Spirit, those are the people are called the bride of Christ. And we learn those are the people will enter into the kingdom of God. Those are the people will be sitting beside the throne of God. So Jesus Christ was very clearly saying, even today, if somebody wants to enter into the kingdom of God, they have to be born again first, and they have to be baptized, and they have to fill with the Holy Spirit. But if somebody says, oh no, I don't want to be baptized because the thief on the cross did not take any baptism, but Jesus Christ told him, today you will be with me in paradise. The thief did not go to hell. He went to heaven. Paradise is in heaven. So the people are thinking, that's good enough for me. I can go to paradise. And that's why there are so many denominations do not even think it's very important to be baptized or tell these people to fill with the Holy Spirit. They are giving. They say, oh, this is just a ritual, or this is just to identify with Christ, or things like that. But it is not like that. It's very important. This is the doctrine of Jesus Christ, or teaching of Jesus Christ. Today, if somebody did not take the water baptism, did not fill with the Holy Spirit, according to this and according to Jesus saying, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Simple as that. Jesus Christ was telling Nicodemus three things. These three things are born again, water baptism, and the Holy Spirit. But I heard some of the scholars, they said, oh, Jesus Christ was talking to Nicodemus about the born again experience, and they don't think the water baptism and Holy Spirit is important. Okay, let's read the verse 6.
That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit.
Jesus Christ is explaining to him, if you are born with your mother and father's desire, they can only produce the flesh. But if you are born by the Spirit of God, you will be the Spirit. So if somebody born into this world, they are fleshly people. That means if you are born in Adam's family, and Adam committed sin, so his blood in you, so you are going to committing sin, because flesh does not understand spiritual things. You have to be a spirit filled to understand spiritual things. So he said, only thing, you have to be born by the Spirit. But he did not explain to him very detail, because he said he is the good teacher, or he is a rabbi, and he is a well-known in community, he is a leader, so he will understand these things. But I believe when Nicodemus heard this thing, he did not understand at that particular time, but Jesus Christ has to explain him a little bit more. But the verse 7, he says, let's read, Jesus says, you must be born again. There is no other way to see the kingdom of God, or to go to kingdom of God. Please read.
Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again.
You should not be surprised. You should not be marvel, because what I'm trying to say, you must be born again. If you are not born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. If you are not born of water or spirit, you cannot enter in the kingdom of God. And that is the teaching of the Jesus Christ, and that should be teaching of the New Testament believers or pastors. You cannot compromise what Jesus Christ said. That's the same thing you had to preach. Now, Jesus Christ was saying, born of the Spirit is Spirit. Now, many times people are thinking, born of the Spirit means Holy Spirit gives you birth. But when you say born of the Spirit, he's talking about born of the Spirit of God. Let's read the St. John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13.
But as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of will of man, but of God.
Now see, here is very clearly saying, if anyone receives Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they are children of God. When you say children of God, God gives them authority to be called the sons of God. And he says, when you are children of God, in the verse 13, he explains, but the children of God is born from above, not by your mother and father, but born from above. So when you say born by the Spirit of God, God is the one gives you birth, and then you call God Abba Father, because Holy Spirit does not give you birth. Holy Spirit only can tell you about your sin and tell you to repent. You do not have to receive the Holy Spirit to be born again. The Holy Spirit can whisper to your ear what you're listening to message, repent and receive Jesus Christ. But once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Word of God says you are a child of God. You are born from above. Not only that, we are learning this. Once you are born again, we have the Spirit of God and you have the Spirit of Christ. Because here it says in verse 13, you are born from above, means born from God. God is the one who is living in heaven above. But Romans chapter 8, verse 9, it says, if you do not have the Spirit of Christ, you are none of his. To receive the Spirit of Christ, you have to receive Christ. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that means you have the Spirit of Christ. Now, there are so many Christians today. They are nominal Christians. I don't want to tell their denominations, but the nominal Christians means their mother and father give them the name Peter, John, James, Thomas, and all these names, born in the Christian family. Maybe their forefathers were born again Christian, but now their children, they're thinking, oh, Christianity came to our country maybe AD 52, and we are already Christians. So they don't want any immersion baptism. They don't want to fill with the Holy Spirit. And they say, are you Christian? Yes. Why are you Christian? Oh, my name is John. So because your name is John, that doesn't mean you are a Christian. If you are born in Hindu family, you are Hindu. You are born in Muslim family, you are Muslim. If you are born in Jewish family, you are Jewish. But if you are born in a Christian family, you are not Christian. You have to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's why when you say water baptism or the born-again experience, I cannot baptize somebody if that person doesn't believe in Jesus Christ. Even though that person says, I want to be baptized, I make sure that that person believes Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And he wants to be baptized. You cannot baptize babies. They cannot believe Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They cannot repent of their sins. So once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you are a child of God. And the child of God should be baptized, not the sinners. Sinner, if you baptize, they go down as a sinner, wet clothes, and come out as a sinner. No change of heart. So before you baptize somebody, they have to have change of heart. They have to believe Jesus Christ. They have to repent of their sins. And that only happens when they receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Please read 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23.
Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever.
If you're born again means you're not born by the worldly things, but you're born by the Spirit of God, or you're born by the Spirit. And the Jesus Christ is the Word of God. So you're born by the Word of God means you receive the Word of God. You receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's why you became born again. And St. John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, Jesus Christ is the Word of God. So when you receive the Word of God, and because you receive the Word, you repent out of your sins. Because you receive the Word, you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And that's why you became a Christian, or you became born again, or you got Spirit of God, or you got Spirit of Christ. Jesus Christ says, whatever I preach, those words has the Spirit. Let's read the St. John chapter 6, verse 63.
It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are Spirit and they are life.
See, again Jesus Christ is saying, fleshly things cannot produce anything, they will produce flesh. But the spiritual things, he says, the words I speak, those words has Spirit, and that words has life. That means if you read the Word of God, you receive the Word of God. The receive the Word of God means receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He gives you life. His words has life. His life, he has the life itself, himself, and he is the one quickens us and gives us eternal life. But he was just simply telling Nicodemus, you must be born again. That message also for us. If you are not born again, doesn't matter your mother's name is Mary and your father's name is Thomas and your name is John, doesn't mean that you are going to go to heaven. You have to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Okay, let's read the St. John chapter 3, verse 8.
The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell when it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit.
Jesus Christ is telling him very plainly, in Jewish language, the Spirit is called wind or the air. Rule. So he's saying, just like wind blows and wind comes and goes, but you cannot see where it's coming and where it's going. The same with the Spirit, you cannot see. Jesus Christ says, God is Spirit, and whoever worships Him, they should worship Him in the Spirit and truth. So he's saying, you cannot see God right now. You cannot see the Spirit right now, but if you, he'll be explaining to him, but if you believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, then you will be born again. Because up to now, Nicodemus says, I know you came from God. I know you are doing miracles. I know without God is with that person, he cannot do miracles, but he did not say, I believe that you are my Savior, or I believe that you are a Messiah, or I believe you are a Christ. You are just saying you are a good man, you are a good teacher, and you are from God. If somebody believes what the Nicodemus was saying, even though they are saying some good things about God, they cannot go to heaven. They have to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Let's read the St. John chapter 3, verse 9.
Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be?
What the Nicodemus is saying, Nicodemus understood. But today's scholars, they did not understand. They said, oh, Jesus Christ was talking to Nicodemus about born again experience. But he said, Nicodemus says, how can these things be? These things, he did not say these things. So he knew Jesus Christ is talking about the born-again experience. He's talking about the water baptism. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. Jesus was not talking one thing. He was talking about three things. So he's saying, how can these things be? Now, Jesus Christ is telling Nicodemus, and I told you these things. You did not understand. Let's read the verse 10.
Jesus answered and saith unto him, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things?
But let me tell you, you are the master of Israel. You are the leader of Israel, and you do not understand what these three things are. What he's trying to say, you seeing John the Baptist baptizing people, you see the what's happening right now, but you do not receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior yet. John the Baptist was talking about Jesus. He said, I'm not talking about myself. I'm talking about Jesus. And John the Baptist gave the testimony about Jesus Christ, but these Pharisees did not receive the teaching of John the Baptist or Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ saying, you don't understand these things? Let's read the verse 11.
Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness.
When Jesus Christ says, we speak, we do know. And so now he says, we speak and we know. He's not talking about disciples, because disciples didn't know the deeper things of God yet. Because disciples, they were not born again yet. Disciples were not washed by the blood of Jesus Christ yet. He said, we speak. That means he said, the Son of God is speaking. The Holy Spirit is speaking and convincing you about God and godly things, but you do not receive what we are saying and what we know about God. Let's read the verse 12.
If I have told you earthly things and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things?
Read verse 13.
And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven.
Jesus Christ is telling Nicodemus, whatever we have seen, what we have heard, we're talking to you. But I am talking to you here what the John the Baptist is already doing, the baptizing people. And you're seeing the things right now. And I was just telling you these things. But you do not believe what I'm telling, the earthly things. How can you believe when I say heavenly things? And then he's saying, I came from heaven, and I'm going to go to heaven. I am the one who's talking to you who came from heaven. But at the same time, I'm talking to you, I'm still in the presence of God in heaven. Even the Son of God, which is in heaven. And I was reading in different Bibles. Some of the Bibles, they even did not mention this, even the Son of God, or Son of Man, which is in heaven. And they just discard that thing. Why? Because they did not understand. How come Jesus Christ talking to Nicodemus, and he's saying, I'm telling you earthly things you do not understand. How can you understand if I tell you I am talking to you, but at the same time I am in heaven? The Son of Man is in heaven. He's talking about Jesus. So many people do not understand, how can Jesus Christ talking to Nicodemus and how can be in heaven at the same time? Please read that, those two verses again, 12 and 13.
If I have told you earthly things and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, and he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven.
He said, no one went to heaven, only Son of Man came from heaven, and a Son of Man is right now in heaven. I'm glad that Nicodemus did not ask him a question. How can you say nobody went to heaven, and we see Enoch went to heaven, and we see Elijah went to heaven, and how can you say nobody went to heaven yet? He did not ask the question, and even though he would have asked the question, Jesus Christ would say, they did not go themselves. God took them. But Jesus Christ, he himself goes and comes because he came from heaven. That's why he is going to heaven. He knows where the heaven is. St. John chapter 1, verse 18. No man hath seen God anytime, but he says, whoever was in the bosom of the Father, he has revealed him. That means he said, I was in the bosom of my Father. I was in heaven. I came from heaven so I can go to heaven. And right now I'm in heaven. But this Enoch and Elijah, by themselves or by their power, they could not go to heaven. Nobody can go. Today, we are living in advanced technology. People can go to Mars, and they can go to higher than Mars, but nobody will go to heaven and see where the kingdom of God is. So the point I'm making, even though somebody will say, your Bible says nobody has went to heaven, Jesus Christ misquoted, but Jesus Christ did not misquote. Jesus Christ says, the person who came from heaven, he knows where the heaven is, so he can go to heaven. Elijah or Enoch, they did not come from heaven, so they could not go to heaven. So that clears out. So the point I'm making, now another subject is, can person be on earth and the same time the person can be heaven? Let's read the Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6.
And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
When you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you are born again, child of God, you will be lifted up to heaven and you will be sitting beside Christ. This is not after the resurrection. This is not after the millennium. This is right now. If you are born again, child of God, you can be spiritually, by spirit, lifted up with Christ or beside Christ, you can sit. The spiritual things you can understand by the Spirit. So if you are born again, child of God, if you are spirit-filled child of God, you can spiritually be in heaven right now. Okay, let's read St. John chapter 3, verse 14.
And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up.
I believe that Nicodemus knew this story because they read the Bible. So he is telling them, it is written in Numbers 21, and you have to read from verse 4 to 9. But I'm just going to tell you the story. When this Israeli people coming in the wilderness, and they start murmuring against Moses, murmuring against God, so God sent the serpents to bite them. So serpents start biting them and they start dying. So the people came to Moses and say, hey, pray to God so God can hear your prayer and we will not die, or the serpent, you tell the God, take these serpents away. Because when the plague came and any kind of what, a frog or anything came, and the Pharaoh says, please pray, and they will disappear. So these people have seen these things. So they said, why don't you pray that this snake will go away? Talk to God. When Moses talks to God, God says, okay, make a brass and serpent, put it on the pole, and lift up the pole higher, and tell the people, if you have snake bite, look at that serpent, and your poison will go away. This seems like a foolish thing, but they had no choice. When they look up, their poison is gone. How it happened? Why God took the serpent? Why he did not take any other animal? But the serpent is a cursed animal. Serpent is cursed. You remember when Adam committed sin? Who told them to commit sin? The serpent. When God cursed everyone, even the ground, but he cursed Satan the most. He said, your head will be crushed, you will be eating the dust, and Jesus Christ is going to crush you. And so that curse came on that serpent. So he said, when you commit sin and you look at that serpent, your curse goes on that serpent and you will be set free. So now why Jesus Christ was telling these things to him, to Nicodemus, he's telling, look, they simply looked at that serpent. And I'll be lifted up. I will be taking your curse. I will be taking your sin on the cross. You simply have to believe that I'm dying on the cross of Calvary for the sinners. And if you are a sinner, you have to receive and you have to believe what I'm doing for the mankind. That's why he was saying, if they looked at the serpent and they said, look and leave. And they looked and leave. They did not die. The same way the people are today thinking cross is very important thing. They have to have a cross in the church. They have to cross in the top of the building. And some of the people, they have to cross in their neck. But those people, some of them not even born again. You ask them, what is this cross? Why are you putting in your neck? They don't know. This is just fashion. And if you tell them, this cross represents Christ's death on the cross. And Jesus Christ took your sin, sickness, disease on the cross. And if you believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, your sins will be forgiven. That is the sign of the cross. And if they came to know these things and they don't want Christ, they will take the cross and throw it away. But if they understood, they will be having more respect for the cross. So the Jesus Christ simply was telling him, if those people just looked at that serpent and got healed, the same way I'm going to take the curse. Galatians chapter 3 verse 13, it says, Jesus Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. And so he's the Jewish man. He knows these things. So he's saying that serpent was cursed. So I will be cursed for the mankind. I will taking your curse. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 21, please read.
For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him.
Jesus Christ did not commit sin. He did not knew what the sin in his life, but he became sin for us. How? God put our sin on him when he was on the cross. And so even he said, Father, forgive them. So our sins will be forgiven when we receive Jesus Christ who died on the cross. So the Jesus Christ was telling Nicodemus, these people in the wilderness, they looked at the serpent and just they believed and they got healed. So the same way he is telling you how to believe. Let's read the St. John chapter 3 verse 15.
That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life.
Whosoever believeth in him means believeth in Jesus Christ. They will have eternal life. So he is still talking to Nicodemus. Nicodemus, you came in the middle of the night. You came to talk to me. But I am talking to you about now heavenly things. You have to believe that I came from heaven. I will be dying on the cross. I will be taking your sin and the sins of the world. But they have to simply believe. If they just believe that I came to die for them, they will have eternal life. Read the verse 16.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life.
I told you to just look at that cross when the Jesus Christ is lifted up and you will have eternal life. And then he says, God so loved the world. How much when you say so, that means there is no measure of love. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So now he is trying to say, you said, Nicodemus, I came from God, I'm a good teacher, I'm doing miracles, and I'm sent by God, but you did not believe me, I am a son of God. If you believe me that I am a son of God, then you will have eternal life. Because this Jewish people never believed that God has a son. They just believed the God the Father. But they did not believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And when Jesus Christ said, I am the Son of God, I came from heaven, I came from my Father and I, we are all one. Jewish people hated him. They start saying, you're blaspheming. You are saying equal unto God. You are not the Son of God. You are demon possessed. And you are not really the Son of God. That's what they were saying. So Jesus Christ is telling Nicodemus, if somebody is saying, I'm a good prophet, I'm a good miracle worker, and I'm a good man, that is not good enough to go to heaven. If you ask somebody today, who is Jesus? Oh, he's a religious man. He's the founder of Christianity. He's a good teacher. And he was a good man. But that will never take them to heaven. They have to believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And Jesus Christ came from heaven. He died for the mankind. Not only died, but he rose again third day, and he went to heaven. He is the living God. Then only salvation comes. Some people can believe Jesus Christ died, and he never rose again. Then they will never have a salvation. The Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. Please read.
That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
You have to believe that Jesus Christ died for your sin, and he was buried and he is risen. The Bible says if you do not believe in resurrection, your faith is useless. Christianity is useless because without the resurrection, there is no Christianity. It will be like all other religions. But the Jesus Christ not only died on the cross of Calvary, he rose again and he gave the hope of resurrection. This kind of hope is not in any religion. Check all the religion and tell them, do you know what the resurrection is all about? They do not know anything. But the Jesus Christ is risen. His tomb is empty. And he came back from heaven. And he showed himself for 40 days to everyone. Gave the proof of salvation. And I believe he might have showed himself to Nicodemus also. So we will be learning more. But the point I'm making, Jesus Christ came from heaven and he died for me. Romans chapter 5, verse 8, please read. The word of God says, we will yet sinner. And Jesus Christ died for us. Anybody can die for friend, die for your country, die for loved ones, but nobody will die for sinners. Please read Romans 5, 8.
But God commendeth his love towards us, and that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us.
We were sinners, and Jesus Christ died for the sinners. So that is the greatest love of God. That's why the word of God says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He gave his son for what? To die for your sin and my sin. That is the love of God. The word of God says he gave his son to die for the mankind. So God loves the mankind so much. He did not send his son to die for angels or die for any spiritual beings. Jesus Christ died for the sinners. And if you say, I am not a sinner, that he did not die for you. You have to receive him as your Lord and Savior. You have to believe that he died for my sin, because there is no other cleansing power than the blood of Jesus Christ. Blood of Jesus Christ washes away all our sins and all our unrighteousness. There is no way you can please God. The Word of God says your righteousness, or the worldly righteousness, is filthy rag in the sight of God. You can give money, you can serve the people, you can do anything, but that will not take you to heaven. Only the blood of Jesus Christ will wash away your sins. So if somebody is listening and they never heard that there is a cleansing power in the blood of Jesus Christ, today you have to know. If you are a sinner, no other religion, no other God, no other way you can cleanse yourself, or there is no way you can do good karma or good deeds to please God. God pleased with the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Today also, Jewish people did not understand yet that Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary for them. The day Jesus Christ died, the curtain in the holy place was torn from top to bottom. From that day until today, the sacrifice is over. No blood sacrifice, no priesthood, everything stopped. But they are still thinking they are going to rebuild the temple. They are going to get some red heifer, a cow, and they will get the priest, and they will start their worship again. Still, they have blindness on their eyes. But once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, your blindness will go away and your spiritual eyes will open. And then you will see spiritually, God is your Father, Jesus Christ is your brother, and he died for you when you were yet sinners. So once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are saved. You are born again. Let's read the St. John chapter 3, verse 17.
For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
And they say God did not send his Son, Jesus Christ, to condemn the world, but through him the whole world should be saved. Now they just take the first part, and the second part they miss. The first part is God did not send Jesus Christ into this world to condemn the world. Then the people say, oh, God is love and God is good. God does not want us to condemn. So keep on committing sin. Doesn't matter. God loves us. And today also many people teach you, oh, God loves unconditionally. You keep on committing any sin, God still loves you. And God loves you so much, because we learn God so loved the world, he gave his only Son to die on the cross of Calvary. So what? He did not come to condemn you. Keep on committing sin. But the Word of God is saying he did not come to condemn you, but you have to believe the Son of God. You have to receive the Son of God. If you don't, then you will be condemned. Let's read the verse 18.
He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God.
Verse 17 says he did not come to condemn the world, but if you believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you will be saved. Don't say he did not come to condemn the world, so God loves me and he has an unconditional love and I can keep on doing anything and I'll be going to heaven. Doesn't work that way. He said, you have to believe that Jesus Christ died for your sin. You have to believe that Jesus Christ wants you to confess your sins. You have to believe that Jesus wants you to receive him as your Lord and Savior. Otherwise, he said, you are already condemned. Because why you condemned? He says, you did not believe the name of the only begotten Son of God. You did not believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior. He is the only begotten Son. There is no other Savior can save you. Jesus is the Savior. And the Acts chapter 4 verse 12 says, there is no other name given on earth, anywhere. Only Christ, Jesus Christ is the Savior. So the people are looking for Savior. And even the American, they are looking for Savior in India. They are looking for Savior in China or Japan. They're going and becoming Buddhist. They're going and trying to get the Hindu religion. But I met so many Hindu priests and religious leaders and the people who American went to India and became Hindus. I asked them, what did you get? And they have no answer how they got saved and how they're going to go to heaven. They can only know karma, do good things. But the karma will not take you to heaven because we already learned that your righteousness are filthy rags in the sight of God. You cannot please with your sinful activity to please God. God only pleased with the blood of Jesus Christ. So the word of God says, if you don't want to be condemned, if you don't want to go to hell, then you should believe Jesus Christ. Read the words 19, St. John 3:19.
And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil.
Now, first of all, he said he did not come to condemn you, but now he said this is the condemnation. What is the condemnation? He says the condemnation means judgment. Why God is judging people? He says light is come into this world, and they did not receive the light. What is the light? Jesus says, I am the light of the world. If you do not receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are already condemned. And you will condemn means you are already judged. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, it says, God has appointed a day, a time, that each and every person should be judged. And so when you stand before the judgment of God, your sin will condemn you. And you will be judged and will be put into lake of fire. We just studied the white throne of judgment. The people who do not have their name written in the book of life or the Lamb's book of life, those all people were thrown into the lake of fire. But we have a good news. If you really afraid of judgment, if you think that you committed so many sins and you committed all the sins in darkness, in secretly, and nobody should know your sins, then you have a golden opportunity to believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you will not be condemned and you will not be judged. Please read St. John chapter 5, verse 24.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life.
Simply believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Simply believe the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Simply believe that blood of Jesus Christ is all sufficient for you to be cleansed, to be sanctified, and to make you a child of God. Let me say, if you believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are passed from death unto life. Each and every person came into this world, they are all going to die. There are some people, some other religious people say, oh, this person is very righteous, and he lived 200 years or 300 years, They can fake the story, but even that they live the 200 years, still they died. The word of God says, the light has come, but the people did not receive the light, they received the darkness. The darkness is the kingdom of devil. Devil is a liar, he is a deceiver, and he wants to take you to hell. Today there are so many Satan worshippers. They are thinking if you worship the Satan, he will bless us. But let me tell you, Satan's blessing is killing. Satan will kill you. Satan will destroy you. Our Bible teaches that. St. John chapter 10, verse 10. He says, enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. The enemy is the devil. The man's enemy is the Satan. The Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus says, I have come to give you life and more abundant life. So Jesus Christ gives you abundant life. He gives you eternal life. So if you believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you will not be condemned. Please read the Romans chapter 8, verse 1.
There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
See, there is no condemnation if you are in Christ, but you have to walk according to the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Christ. If you don't follow the Lord Jesus Christ, automatically you are not going to be safe and say, oh, God is not going to condemn us because he said he did not send his son to condemn the world. We just read, if you do not receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are already condemned. No. The light has come. The Christ has come. The eternal life has come. Jesus Christ is right now here. He is knocking at our door. He says, if you open the door, I'll come in. And I will have dinner with you. The Jesus disciples, after the resurrection, they were looking for food. They were looking for fish. They could not find anything. Jesus Christ came to the shore. He got the fish. He got the bread. He was already cooking the food for them. He says, come and eat. Jesus Christ has a food of eternal life. You have to come to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the one who can save us, who can heal us, who can deliver us, who can set us free. Let's read a couple of verses. St. John chapter 3, verse 20.
For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved.
Everyone who does evil things, that person hates the light. Hates the light means what? They hate Jesus. Jesus is the light of the world. If you hate the light, that means you hating God. All people committing sin, they commit in darkness. Thief, they come in night. Robbers, they come in night. The people who wants to kidnap the children, they do it in secretly. People doing the drug dealers, they are doing secretly. They don't want anybody to see it. They come in the middle of the night. Thief comes middle of the night. So the word of God says, whoever does the evil things, they will hate light. That same way, they will hate Christ. They will hate God. That's why today we see many people hating God. They don't want to see God. They don't want to know God. Because when you talk about God, you are talking about spiritual things. You are talking about the godly things. People do not want to hear godly things. The other day, I was listening, and there were four young people stood there, and they said, one lady said, I was not believing in any God. There was another person said, I'm American, but I never felt like American. There was another person says, I'm a black, but everybody hated me, and I did not like the life in this earth. But he says, I was listening to the man of God, I listening to his videotapes and things like that. And we all got saved. We all got born again. We all now love the Lord and love our country. So he said, we gave this message to 1 billion young people. Out of 1 billion young people, he says, 60% listeners were young people in their 20s and 30s. All these young people living in America, they are going and burning the cities and burning the houses and killing the people. Why? Because they do not know the truth. They are still in the darkness. But once they come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, they will be saved. I heard now there is a group of people going city to city and preaching the gospel and trying to give the gospel of Jesus Christ. People are getting saved. People are getting healed. People are getting baptized. And the police officer came and they said, hey, you cannot have these meetings because you don't have the permit. But those people kept on marching and going and preaching the gospel. And then they went to Ohio. Hundreds and thousands of people got saved and they baptized many people in the river. The point I'm making, once the people hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, they will come to the light and they will be living in the light. Because when they come to the light, then they come to God and their good things people should know. People do not have witness until they get saved. Once you get saved, then you can go and tell somebody how bad you were and how God saved you. That is your duty. If God saved you and you're not telling anybody anything, then you are not saved. You say, how can you judge me? Because if you are born again, child of God, you will be telling somebody how Jesus saved you. You will not keep the light under the bushel. Jesus Christ says your light should shine. He also said, I am the light of the world and you are the light of the world. So we have to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and let the people know what you received. St. John chapter 3, verse 21.
But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God.
He says, if you know the truth, you will come in the light, and the people will see what God has done for you. St. John chapter 8, verse 32, he says, ye shall know the truth, and truth shall set you free. And verse 36, he says, that if truth sets you free, that means you will be free indeed. Once you believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are free. Free from sin. Free from all the diseases. Free from all the poverty. Free from all the darkness. I'm going to give a couple of verses to prove what I'm saying. Let's read the Romans chapter 3, verse 23.
For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
See, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We lost the glory. We lost the power. We lost everything when we're committing sin. But the Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That means Jesus Christ is the Savior. He is going to save you from sin. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4 and 5.
Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed.
So Jesus Christ took our sickness, our sorrow, our pain, our suffering on the cross of Calvary, and with his stripes we are healed. That means if you know Jesus Christ, he can also set you free from sickness, disease, and all kinds of suffering. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, Peter says the same thing, that with his stripes we were healed 2,000 years ago. So Jesus Christ is a healer. Let's read one more verse. Exodus chapter 15, verse 26.
And said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.
He says, all of this disease you saw in Egypt, none of that will come to you, because I am the healer. I can heal you. I can set you free. Once you have Jesus, you are free from sin. You are free from disease. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19.
But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus.
2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9.
For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich.
Jesus Christ came into this world to take your sin, take your disease, and take your poverty. Philippians 4:19, we read that Jesus Christ is going to supply all our needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He is the rich God. He is the heavenly God. He has all the heavenly treasures. There is nothing lacking for the believers. And he says, with his poverty, you can be rich. There are so many people, they don't like preaching about richness. But poverty is not good. It's a curse. So God took our curse on him. And now he said, I can make you rich. Spiritually, physically, socially, emotionally, financially, and every way you can be rich. Because there is nothing impossible with God. If you are poor today, you just come to Jesus Christ, give your life to Jesus Christ. He will forgive your sins. He will take your diseases away, and he will make you rich. Only one thing you do, say, Lord Jesus, I am suffering financially. If you have a one dime, give one penny to the Lord and see how God blesses you. When you're giving to the Lord, only one penny out of 10 cents. I have seen many, many rich people. They believed Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They were spiritually rich and they start giving to God. They became financially rich. So we saw Jesus Christ can set you free from your sin when you believe him as your Lord and Savior. If you believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he will take your diseases away. If you believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he can also take your poverty away. And not only taking poverty, but make you rich. And not only that, he says, I will the darkness away and you will come to the light of Christ. Read the Colossians chapter 1, verse 12 and 13.
Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son.
Once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he is going to take you out of the darkness. The kingdom of darkness is the kingdom of devil. Once you receive Jesus Christ, you receive the light. You receive the life of Christ and you start shining. You are not going to walk in darkness. You are not going to do the things of darkness. You are going to come out of the darkness and you are going to shine for Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ was telling Nicodemus, if you receive me, you will be not walking in darkness. You'll be not living in sin. Will not living in sickness and disease. You will not live in poverty or darkness. That's the same message for us. And I learned about Nicodemus. So many people will say, what happened to Nicodemus? Did he get saved? I believe in the presence of Jesus Christ. When you come, you will never, never deny Christ. Many people, some people come just for the show and they don't believe in Jesus Christ. Those are the people will go to hell. But the people who come to Jesus Christ, receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they will be with Jesus Christ. Nicodemus was a secret disciple of Jesus Christ. Read about him, St. John chapter 7, verse 50 to 52.
Nicodemus saith unto him, He that came to Jesus by night, being one of them, doth our law judge any man before it hear him, and know what he doeth? They answered and saith unto him, Art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet.
These are the Pharisees. You have to read in a little bit more in that chapter. What the Pharisees did, they sent some spies and said, just go and arrest Jesus Christ. They went there. They could not arrest him. They said, oh, he's so powerful. His preaching is powerful. And he's doing signs and wonders, and we cannot arrest him. And then Nicodemus says, hey, why you want to judge that person? What did he do? Is our law says you can judge somebody without a crime? And they say, hey, nothing came from Galilee. He's from Galilee. He cannot be Savior. He cannot be Messiah. But they did not know the Bible. If they have listened to the Isaiah, they will say, Jesus Christ was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ in Galilee. So the point I'm making, this Nicodemus heard the word of God. He did not keep him himself, but he was trying to tell others what Jesus Christ is all about. St. John chapter 19, verse 39 to 41.
And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100-pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus, and wound it in linen cloths, clothed with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury.
Now here we see there are two people's names, but we just read about Nicodemus. There is Joseph Arimathea, very rich man, and a very honorable man. He goes to Pilate and asks the body of Jesus Christ, and Nicodemus go for shopping, got the 100 pounds of spices, and get the beautiful linen clothes, and strip by strip start serving Jesus Christ and wrapping his body. Maybe he did not know the resurrection, but according to the Jewish law, they have to keep the body, preserve the body for the future resurrection. But the point I'm making, this same Nicodemus, he said, all these chapters we read, the same Nicodemus who came to Jesus Christ in the middle of night, we see the changes in his heart. And I believe when the Jesus Christ was risen, there are 500 people standing there. I believe one of them might be Nicodemus. When Peter was baptizing and 3,000 people got saved and baptized, I believe the Nicodemus might be one of them. The point I'm making, when this Nicodemus taking this body and wrapping and touching the blood of Jesus Christ, I believe that God already touched his heart. And that person who touched the blood of Jesus Christ and washed by the blood of Jesus Christ will never, never deny Jesus Christ. Let's see that Jesus Christ is our Savior. He's our healer. He's our deliverer. He can save us from all kinds of sins. So Nicodemus got saved, and he became a good witness. Let's pray and ask God. We heard about Nicodemus, but if you heard something new today, go and teach somebody. You never gave the heart to Jesus Christ. Today is the golden opportunity. Say, Jesus Christ, please come into my heart. Please forgive all my sins. Please wash me with your precious blood. Give me grace to love you and follow you. And if you pray this kind of prayer, God will answer this prayer. Your sins will be forgiven. Your sins will be forgotten. Your name will be written in heaven. You will be new creation, and you will be the child of God. and you will have the Spirit of Christ, and you will have the Spirit of God, and you will be born again. Then you look for the water baptism and look for the Holy Spirit and join in a good church where the full gospel is preached. Let me pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord, for giving us grace to study the Word of God. Let the people be blessed and let them learn and teach others. We believe that you are coming very soon. Prepare us, O Lord, for thine soon coming. We commit our bodies, our soul, our spirit into your loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.